verses 1 through 5. Haggai chapter 2. Haggai the prophet. You should find the page for that in the bulletin. Before we start, let me ask you, what do these have in common? Blockbuster. Nokia. Toys R Us and Polaroid. You know what they have in common? All of them had to close. And why did they have to close? Because they did not keep up with changes in the market. We live in a world where we've got to face constant change. Time does not stand still. And even God's people had to face change. What they had expected at one point had vanished. So what does God say to people who were mourning over the past, yet they had to face the future? Let's read and see what Haggai the prophet says to God's people in words that are appropriate for us this new year. In the second year of King Darius, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenant with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Let's pray and ask God to bless the reading of his word. Our God, we need your help on how to see life. If we see life from your perspective, we will have strength and confidence. So we ask now that your Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us as we look and meditate upon your word. Hear our prayer. Amen. It's nothing new to you, but the world is constantly changing, and that often causes a lot of frustrations. Now, in my other job, I work on a computer, and it seems like there's always a new program that I've got to learn, or my favorite is we've got to change codes, and then I got to remember the code, which I will then forget to write down, and then I got to do all sorts of magic with the computer to get my codes back and the computer running. And I'm sure some of you have had to deal with the same thing. Nothing's permanent. Now, I'm not saying everything's relative, but nothing seems to be permanent. A lot of the changes are relatively minor that we have to deal with, like computer codes. But there are other times when changes are a lot more major. Do you know what some of the biggest psychological stressors in life are? A move, where you've got to move from one city to another. And in American society today, that happens all the time. You got to learn where the grocery store is. You've got to learn where the schools are and the public transportation, the days that the garbage has to be turned out. Other stresses are death and divorce because they bring so much changes, and a lot of times we don't want to deal with those changes. We cannot escape them. They are there. And what a lot of people do is they turn to the past and they think about what the past was like. And to be honest, the past is quite comforting. Why?
You already know how everything turns out. Been there, done that. And the other thing our memory tends to do is we tend to sanitize the past and get rid of all the bad and remember only the good. Now, for a long time, I wanted to go back to Virginia. I love Virginia. I love the mountains. I like the city that I was in, Colonial Heights. But you know what the problem with all that is? When I wanted to go back and wanted to go back, I forgot all the negatives. I forgot not having any air conditioning. I forgot about all the other problems that took place in that city. And now it's all changed. They put in a mall. Oh, it's a mess now. Can't go back. Don't want to go back. But we got to deal with the changes in life. And going back to the past often is not helpful. Memories are good, but you can't go back. We have to go forward in the way that God leads us. And this morning, God's people had to deal with that very issue. Now, in our congregation, new years, new possibilities, new threats, just like God's people in the past, we've got to be able to deal with them. And I believe Haggai gives us a way to deal with things. And here he reminds us, do not get caught up in the past. Beware of that. Now let me explain why I'm saying that and what's going on in this passage. God's people had been punished. Why? Because of their idolatry and their sinfulness. So God sent the Babylonians along, and the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem. And they carted all of God's people away from the Holy Land, the promised land where they had once lived. And I want you to imagine how the Israelites would have thought of that. Where were the promises of God? Where is our king? And it would seem that God had forgotten them. But in 538 BC, King Cyrus sent out a decree that God's people could return to the promised land. So what do you think they found when they went back to Jerusalem, back to their old hometown? The city walls, which they needed for defense, had holes in it. Houses were destroyed. The farmland probably was unproductive. It was ruined because no one had taken care of anything at all. And one of the big miseries to these people, who were much more religiously oriented than we are, is what about the temple? He'd been destroyed. It says in Ezekiel that the glory of God had left the temple. And now these people had come back and now there is no more temple. Everything is in ruins. I can imagine them thinking, oh, it's going to be so good to get home again. But there's nothing there. Ruins. Dust. Dirt. Disappointment. And when Solomon was there, oh, he could build the temple all right. He had the resources, he had the gold, he had the silver, he had the laborers, he had the skilled craftsmen. Now the people came back, they don't have any of that. Just don't have it. And what is happening here in this passage is the older Israelites who remember the old temple came back, and here's what they saw. Probably nothing but the foundations of the new temple. And it wasn't much compared to the glory that was there with Solomon's temple. And look at what it says here in verse 3. Who of you is left who saw the house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? does it not seem to you like nothing?
So these were the people. They were probably shaking their heads. Oh, this can't be. Oh, this will not match up with what used to be. This is nothing compared to the good old days when things were great. That's what they were saying. That's what they were thinking. They had seen the past. They knew that it was great. Now, what are we doing here? What are we trying to do? And that same sort of thing can happen in our day as well. How many times have I heard this when it comes to the church world? I remember when. I remember when all this church was filled. I remember when we had the youth group and ministries. I remember when. And we tend to look at the glories of the past and not take into account what is going on in the present. Now, years ago, a minister came here, and this was like maybe 10, 15 years ago. A minister came in, his son or son-in-law was in the military, and he was the pastor at Tabb Street Presbyterian Church. That's where I grew up, became a Christian. And I was asking about the church because it had just gone downhill. And he was telling me an incident about that church and why he left. Tabb Street Church was a very historic church. And they had the communion goblets that were very valuable. So the city of Petersburg was celebrating some sort of historical event in the city's life. And they had asked, could they borrow the chalices, the communion cups, to show as part of a display? He said yes. Pretty sure the session said yes. Well, he let him do it. And guess what happened? When the congregation found out that he had let out those communion cups. How can you do this? How can this be? Oh, we should not let them borrow those communion cups. And he said to me this. He said, at that point, I knew I did not want to be in a church that was going to be a museum. I had to. See what he's saying? He doesn't want to be around a church which isn't going to be open to what the Spirit of God is doing, nor serving its community. She said, then why stay? Why stay? Why stay? Because you are so focused on the past, you're so focused on what went on back then that you're not willing to do anything in the present. And it doesn't just happen in churches. It can happen in your own personal life as well. For example, I know someone now. He lives in a house that has been in the family for some time. He is now older. The house is in decay. It is falling apart. It is stacked with junk from the past. That house needs to be sold and gotten rid of. And he could live in such a better place. So here's what I was told. Oh, I see ghosts of the past. I'm sort of thinking, I don't believe in ghosts. Sorry. Don't believe. Why don't you say you are so stuck in the past that you can't move on to what is better for you in the present? So you are going to continue to live like this when you could do something better? What do you think God is telling you? I'd say it's move. Move. But you're so stuck in the past. You can't do that. The wisdom literature in Ecclesiastes tells us something I think as we get older we should all memorize. Say not, why were the former days better than these? For it is not for wisdom that you ask this. There's no such thing as the good old days. There never was. All that stuff about the past that we read about has often been sanitized to make it sound good. Well, if we don't focus on the past so much, then what do we do? You need to remember that God is with you now. It wasn't a hopeless situation then. It's not a hopeless situation now. God is at work. God does not leave His people. He did not forsake Israel. He does not forsake us. And look at the situation back then, and you will see this, because what does God say? I want you to notice that God's word came to those poor exiles who had very little. And I want you to notice that He not only addresses the leaders, but all people. And twice we're told this. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. God's word was coming to all the people back then who were trying to do something. And what does He say in verse 4? Be strong, Jehozadak, high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you. Don't look at all the resources that may not be there. Focus on me. And what do we see over and over again in the Bible? What does God say to fearful people? I am with you. In Isaiah, God says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. And we go back into the book of Joshua. What does it say to the people? Be strong and very courageous. You will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors. Part of the reason I think that churches often fail is they're too fearful and not confident enough in what God can do. Three times in this passage, He tells His people, be strong, for I am with you and my Spirit is with you. We have got to face fears, discouragement to keep going on. And what we need to do is to remember what God's word says, because here's what's going to happen. You're either going to hear voices inside your head which tells you to doubt God, or you're going to memorize God's word and such statements that we find here that are going to encourage you to move on and to do what God wants us to do. It comes down to the words you're going to listen to. You were fallible or the sovereign God? I'll go with the sovereign. And keep in mind here what He will do in the future. Because this is a wonderful passage. It didn't look like much at that time, did it? But once again, listen to what God's word says here in verse 9. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former. How could that be? How could that be? Because you know what the glory that is ultimately referred to here? It's Jesus. It's Christ. Christ is the temple. Christ is the presence of God. Not a building made of brick and stone. It's Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. He's talking about Himself as the presence of God. And what God is saying here, look to Jesus. He's the real temple. His glory outshines anything that a nice building even a religious one, can provide, because he is by far greater than anything else. I think this should be our quote for the year. It comes from a German, I think he's a German, he's a European composer anyway, Gustav Mahler. Here's what he said. Tradition is the handling of the fire, not the worship of the ashes. Let me repeat that. Tradition is the handling of the fire. It is not the worshiping of ashes. I want you to think about just an imaginary couple. They go to, let's say, a very conservative Baptist church. But there are changes in the Baptist church, so they got to get out of the Baptist church. They want to go to a different church because they don't like the changes. They're traditionalists. So they go to a mainline liberal church, which has the facade of a traditional worship service. They say the creeds. They have the music of the past. But they don't have the fire of Jesus. What we want is to pass on the light and heat of Jesus Christ to the next generation. And as we look forward to this year and all the challenges, remember, tradition is the handling of the fire. It is not the worship of the ashes. Let's pray and ask God to bless his word. Lord Jesus, we admit we're a lot like the people in Israel way back then. So we need your help. We need to remember those words, be strong and courageous. Help us, our Lord God, because we love your kingdom. And at times we're confused. We don't know what to do. But your Spirit is with us. Amen.